This is the Golf Channel Podcast, Masters Week Edition. I'm George Savarikas with a couple of my pals, GolfChannel.com's Will Gregg, Golf Channel analyst Trip Eisenhower. Guys, a lot of storylines to get to as we get ready for the 81st edition, a special week at Augusta. First, out of the gates, just what you're most looking forward to this week, Will.
For me, it's Jordan Spieth, and it's all of his issues, let's say, with the 12th hole. Coming back after what he went through last year, and even just trying to continue this four-run streak now of top two finishes. I was fascinated by what he had to say last week in Houston about the notion that he strikes fear into other players when it comes to Augusta National. And so for me, you know, Danny Willett is the defending champ, Dustin Johnson a clear world number one, but Jordan Spieth is the most interesting storyline right now.
Well, I think that what it is for me is we've got the top players in the game, the top players in the world, all playing solid golf, and all of them capable in different ways of taking this championship and running away with it. It probably won't happen. It never seems to happen when you've got so many guys on form coming in. The other thing for me is the forecast. And I think you've got to eliminate some players that you might be looking at otherwise based on the winds gusting to 25, 30 miles an hour. If the forecast holds true, it's going to be cold. The first-timers are going to have a hard time with that because those gusty winds and how they swirl down through Rays Creek and the tributary to Rays Creek on 13, it can really affect your golf ball in a lot of different ways. And if you haven't experienced that, it's difficult.
We're going to have more on the forecast in just a little bit. I'm inclined to agree with Will because Jordan Spieth, Justin Ray had a good stat.
For me.
Yeah, 1 point for now. Jordan Spieth beat 278 out of the 280 players in the Masters the last 3 years. That was compliments of our buddy Justin Ray.
Yes. So he's put together Justin Ray stat.
Yeah. Put together an amazing three-year run, but you forget in 2014 he hit in the water on 12, as well as last year. So two out of 3 years, that's been his big bugaboo. There's got to be some scar tissue lingering a little bit on that hole. Nota Begay was talking about that earlier on Live from the Masters. So I think if we can see Jordan Spieth actually in contention having to play 12, that's going to be must-see TV. Good or bad, redemption, ongoing agony, whatever storyline crops up, that's going to be what people are focused on, how he tackles what was the biggest meltdown we saw in 2016, if not in recent major history.
Hey, the Masters is must-see TV anyway. So
very true.
The whole thing
but
is
when
must-see
you put
TV.
A car crash with the Masters,
it ratchets
it up a notch.
Well, I mean, I feel like the Spieth thing with 12 is going to go in three stages. And the first stage was winning another tournament after that, and he did that at Colonial. Next is going to be winning any major. And then the third stage is going to be winning another Masters. If he goes the next 10 years without winning a second green jacket, he will still get questions about the 12th hole in 2016.
Yeah. Oh, by far.
Yeah. So he's got to graduate through. He can talk about getting rid of the demons with a practice round in December all he wants, but it is a different ball game when you step up there with the patrons behind you when it counts.
So if he could get stage two and three done this week by winning Augusta National. Yeah,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Winning another green jacket. Wipe out the three stages right here.
You're not putting a lot of credence to what he did in December?
I think it helps, but it doesn't. It does not quite equate to April.
It was like Tiger Woods telling me at Bridgestone a few years ago when he shot 61. If you were thinking about shooting 59? Oh, I've shot 59 before.
And I
That's the exact same as shooting it on the PGA Tour. All right, let's focus from a former world number one who's not in the field this week, Tiger Woods, to the current world number one in Dustin Johnson. Trip, is this DJ's tournament to lose at this point, having won three straight?
I don't know if it's his tournament to lose, but I definitely think this is his best chance to win a green jacket. I mean, you've got to say that in his career for a couple of reasons. He's played well here before. He's had a couple of top tens. He was a sixth-place finish a couple of years ago. What he can do to this golf course is just amazing. What he can do to any golf course. The difference for me is why I liked him at match play versus his match play record in years past is the way he's scrambling. Mm-hmm. You can look at scrambling two different ways, and I look at it as the person who's getting up and down a lot, okay, how are they doing it? Are they chipping the ball close, or are they relying on their putter, or a little bit of both? I mean, we see different guys leading and scrambling. The best chipper is the guy who chips it closest to the hole. Well, you know who that is on the PGA Tour? Dustin Johnson. 3 feet, 4 inches closer than average when he chips the golf ball. He's going to be chipping four times at least for an eagle at Augusta National. Okay, now, he's got very difficult chips. It's very difficult. You get in the wrong position at 2 to get it up and down. Very difficult at 8. But, you know, he's going to be one of those few players that can get to 8 every single day, yep. capable of it. So yeah. he's going to be up around that green every day. 13, of course, and 15 if you go over that green. Very difficult chips. But if you look at what he's doing and how well he's putting, I think this is definitely his best because of the length off the tee and the short game now is a weapon. And I never thought it would be for DJ.
Well, I think even going back a little bit further on the course, that is just the wedge play from 125 right. yards and in. That if you try and find where the road diverged at Oakmont or around there that turned Dustin Johnson, who has always had this incredible skill set and always had the ability to overpower golf courses and turned him into an unbeatable machine, it's the wedge play that he has been so good and so consistent, as you said, around the greens, but also with those 70, 100, 125-yard shots that he is just getting a lot closer than he used to. He's creating those birdie chances, saving par when he has to. So, I mean, the driver has been the constant for him, but it's everything else that now is falling into place. And I agree with you that I wouldn't say it's his tournament to lose because the Masters is never anyone's tournament to lose sure. unless we're yeah. talking about Tiger in 2000, 2001. But this is his best shot.
You almost think if Jordan Spieth hadn't compiled this amazing three-year run in the Masters, that DJ would just be this overwhelming betting favorite.
True.
He would be.
But he's still not. He's as Tripp said before, he's not the only top-ranked player that's playing well right now.
True. But when you've won three consecutive starts, I mean, I can't think off the top of my head of last time a guy won four starts on the PGA.
And blowing quality fields away,
yeah.
too.
And it's not like he's winning, no offense to some of the events that we see later in the year that I generally cover, but it's not like it's these opposite field events or something along those lines where you don't have a lot of guys in yeah. the top 10 in the world rankings to do it at Riviera and then a WGC and then just to be able to keep it going in that vein.
Never play the 18th hole at match play until the last yeah. the last match with John Rahm.
I mean, I think back to 2014 when Rory went 3 in a row with the Open, Bridgestone, PGA. If they would have had another, if the Masters was played in late August that year, I think that you're right. He would have been in echelon unto himself. So I will at least agree with you there. I'll give my point back to you.
And thank you.
Yes.
And then the other point with Dustin Johnson, people forget, he's a guy who had three eagles in one round at the Masters.
Yeah.
He's already had a lot of
crystals.
Of fire.
Loading up on those crystal
he's
goblets.
He's had a lot of firepower there already. This was prior to him getting dialed in from 50 to 125 yards. So he's already trending in that direction where you think he's knocking at the door. This year seems to be about as good a chance as any with his current form. Does he have a weakness in his game at this moment? Is there one possible Achilles heel that could flare up where you're like,
yeah.
I'm not sure Saturday or Sunday.
The one that I do see is some of his lag putting. If there is a weakness, and at Augusta you're going to have some very difficult lag putts, and you're going to have some areas where you're not going to be able to two putt it. But the thing about DJ is, okay, that's a weakness, but it's not going to bother him if he does. You know, I mean, that's one of his strengths. It's like he water off his back. He doesn't care. He doesn't seem to be bothered by anything. So if there is a weakness, I would say the ability to get the ball close when you've got some of those difficult 35 and 40 footers, which you're inevitably going to have multiple times throughout the week at Augusta.
What I would say is just this is a little bit of uncharted territory for him as the world number one, as if not a clear favorite, let's say a co-favorite with Spieth. It's so often we've talked about Rory, Jason, Jordan, and those three kind of having a revolving door at the top of the world rankings, and DJ is very clearly the guy. He's taking a lead over 4 points in the world rankings into the Masters. No one other than Tiger has done that since Nick Faldo back in 93.
Wow.
So he is in an echelon unto himself, and it's going to be interesting to see how he's able to react to that.
The thing I like with Dustin Johnson, you see some guys who go up and get world number one. Adam Scott's a great player, but you could tell just his body language and what he said in press conferences that he wasn't comfortable each week having to answer questions about being world number one mm-hmm. and just peppered as the guy constantly with the bullseye on his back. You've seen other players who get world number one for a week or two and kind of shirk everything that comes with it as far as not wanting to embrace that mantle. And I love how Dustin Johnson kind of ascended to it with no expectations, really. It's not like he said, this is a forefront goal of mine.
Right.
This is a career goal. I want to get to world number one. He gets it, and then he validates it with two WGC wins after that. And I think he has kind of the athlete's mindset where if I'm at my best, I want people chase, bring it on. Like, your best is not going to beat my best. Yeah. I want to see it any day of the week. And I think he's totally in the right mindset of being able to deal with all that responsibility that comes with being world number one because he's such an even keel on the golf course that if he comes up short, I think he has no problem just deflecting the question and being like, yeah, well, okay,
another one of his strengths. I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, and he has a bit of, and you can't put anybody in the box of Tiger. He's got a bit of intimidation. That, you know, now with the number one
especially
ranking. And I remember Jason Day telling a friend of mine, Keith Sbarbaro, who's the vice president of operations for TaylorMade, who's a friend of both those guys. Jason Day told him, he said, I was swinging out of my shoes trying to catch him. And it was so impressive. He was driving it so much better than I ever could. Coming from Jason Day, I mean, that just tells you right there, there's a bit of intimidation. I think, you know, Rory McIlroy can get close to that. But as far as the tee ball and now the fade, the precision of that, DJ's got that air of intimidation.
And touching on Rory, I mean, he was talking about how it, WGC Mexico, or what was the head-to-head match play, I think. Mm-hmm. He's like, a couple times I got it by him. But just to hear Rory say only a couple times in regards to anyone's a shocker. Yeah. So Rory, obviously a former world number one. Every year, it's...
Here we are.
It's like the Jordan Spieth storyline with Rory in 2011 and that 43 on the second nine on Sunday. As far as his odds to complete the career Grand Slam, do you like where his game is at right now going into the Masters, Will?
I like where his game is at. I like the fact that we're talking about Dustin Johnson and Jordan Spieth to lead this show as opposed to Rory McIlroy. I think that helps. Listen, I don't think the Masters is ever the one you want to leave as the fourth leg of the career Grand Slam.
Why do you say that?
It's
the same course every year.
I think that's a huge advantage.
I think no, because I think that there's more going into it. I think that it's almost more important for the players to win the Masters than the other four because of everything that it entails, because of the history, because of the lifetime exemption, and the 8 months of buildup does not help either. Yeah. So, in that respect, I think he would have, you know, you can't really pick and choose, but it would be easier if he had one of the Opens left, let's say. But this is what it is. He's got the Masters left, and
I think Phil would disagree with one of the others.
I don't know. I just think that it's a little bit in his head. You know, I talked to Charles Schwartzel last month at the Valspar, and we were talking about Ernie Els playing his final Masters, but this also, he said, applied to Rory, where he said as soon as something becomes a thing in the game of golf, you're battling elements that you don't even want to think about. Yeah. And we're getting to the point now with Rory where this is starting to become a thing, that if he doesn't get it, let's say in the next couple of years, he's about to turn 28, that it could be something where it takes on a life of its own. And again, you only get one bite at the apple every year. So to answer your question, I like where he's at, and I think that it's going to help that he's flying a little under the radar, but everything will change if he gets himself into contention over the weekend. We saw it happen last year. He really faded away during the third round playing with Jordan Spieth in the last group. We'll see.
No, that 77 on Saturday was not due to his putter, which is usually what you would suspect. It was his driver.
Yeah.
I mean, he drove it very poor on Saturday. It's not a thing yet. It's not. It may be a little bit in his head. Well, no, but here's where it's going to become a thing. If we're 7 years down the road and he's been in contention four of those years and hasn't won it, okay. Well, he has been in contention enough. That's fine. I think it's
but not really on Sunday.
He hasn't had that Sunday within two shots of the lead where he needs a big 13th hole or something.
Well, he has had it when he wasn't Rory McIlroy with four majors.
Right.
Okay. He has had it and stood on that 10th tee. He was in charge of that golf tournament. That's one. I give him one there.
Mm-hmm.
To your point, I'm saying a Sunday where he has a 8 on 12.
Right.
You know, things like that. That's when I think it'll start getting in his head. This golf course suits him to a tee. I mean, the beautiful right-to-left tee shot that he can kill. He can come into two with an 8-iron. I mean, that's a huge asset. I think that the way he's putting, the way his trend of his game, with the time off with the rib, did we see any rust in Mexico? A little bit, he finished 7th. You know, I like where Rory McIlroy is heading in. Match play, I know he didn't get out of the pool play because, he didn't necessarily play that poorly. It's just he got beat in match play, mm-hmm. which happens. But I think that his short game and the putting is as good as I've seen it coming in on a week-to-week basis. It's always been streaky, but I think it's starting to be more consistent. He's going to have that putter to rely on this year. That's why I pick him. He's my favorite. I'm sticking with him.
Ooh, there you go.
Scale of 1 to 10, how good a putting week does Rory have to win the Masters? For him.
For him, 7.
I was going to say 7.
Yeah.
He does not have to have a Jordan Spieth week.
No.
He needs to be good.
An 8 for as far as how he normally putts, his average would never get it done at Augusta. That's the one tournament where the greens are too tricky.
No,
he has to have
But going back really to what Tripp was saying, this is he's playing a little bit different course, and it's like what DJ does in terms of creating opportunities with the par fives, getting to some of the longer par fours with a mid iron as opposed to a long iron. Those things kind of incrementally build up over the course of 72
When's
holes.
When's the last time a guy won the Masters where they had an average putting week? You don't see people overpower that course because it's soft where it's like, well, he just ball struck it to
this
like Jason Duffner 2013 PGA.
Right.
You don't see that corollary.
This week will be a little bit different in the fact that this could be a Zach Johnson type year where over par wins this golf tournament. And
with the rain coming in.
Yeah, we'll quickly hit the forecast now. This will be our halfway point of the show. We'll
meteorology, switch, yeah.
Put on your weather hat. It's supposed to rain Wednesday. You're going to have a softer Augusta on Thursday. You still
not,
think?
Not actually saw. It never actually gets saw.
You think? Okay, it could pour, and those greens are going to be as hard as this right here. It doesn't matter. They control nature there. Okay, they do. Yes, the fairways might be a little softer, but I still a huge advantage if they are softer for a Rory McIlroy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where it gets gives him a bigger advantage. Where I think the hard part is it's forecast to be out of the northwest, which is a wind that comes up over the trees from the right. On 12, you cannot feel that wind. It comes up over, and where you are, you don't necessarily feel the gust. Then you hit an 8-iron up there, and it knocks it straight down into Race Creek. That's the stuff that happens at Augusta National because of the way and the beautiful design of the golf course. When you get that northwest wind, it's very difficult. 13, your second shot's playing back into a crosswind. It's extremely difficult to hit the right club. And that's where I think, to Dustin Johnson's strength, some goofy stuff's going to happen, but I'm not as concerned about the rain as I am the wind. And when they get that gusty at Augusta, I've played there in winds about 30 miles an hour and cold, and I can just tell you your golf ball's flying all over the place. You hit a shot from 11 up on top of that hill, and you think you hit a beautiful shot, and it goes left of the creek, you know, because it's like, left of the pond over there. And it's like, how did that happen? Those things happen at Augusta National, in particular with that wind.
I don't know what else to add there. I mean, that's a pretty
good filibuster.
Yeah, that is a pretty astute point. I agree. I mean, I go back to what we saw last year with when the winds kick up. I was believing either Friday or Saturday that we saw no one break 70 at that golf course,
right.
Which you almost never see at a major championship or even at a Masters. They have put more money than I will ever see in my life into that sub-air system. And they can get it as firm or as soft as they want in terms of tee to green and even on the putting surfaces. But you can't control the fans up above. And that is one element that could prevent us.
They hadn't figured that out yet.
We could build the dome, right? If they built the new media center, we can build a dome.
Yeah.
So with the forecast in mind and the winds kicking up, there's that crop of 20-somethings. Justin Thomas already has 3 wins this year. Hideki Matsuyama had that great run. You can throw in Daniel Berger, Brooks Koepka, John Rahm, Ricky Fowler. Of those guys,
Thomas Peters,
who do you think has the best chance to be in contention given the conditions as well?
Well, logic would say, I mean, Justin Thomas hasn't played very well since he left Hawaii. He's had brief spurts of good play, but you got to say John Rahm. I know you're on the fence about John Rahm a little bit, but just the record and his overall, there is no weakness in that game. He's so talented, and the meteoric rise in the world rankings all point to John Rahm of the first-timers. I do like Thomas Peters, though. I think he's a sneaky one that can pop up and play this golf course well. He plays difficult tests well. He's got plenty of length, and he's got a ton of confidence right now. But I'm going to, of the 20-somethings and even a first-timer, I'm going with John Rahm.
I do like your Thomas Peters point, and in terms of John Rahm, I think that John Rahm is as good as everyone has talked about in the last few weeks and months. I think he's going to win 10 times on tour. I think he's going to win multiple majors. But in terms of
10 wins?
North of
At least, yeah.
Oh, I was going to say minimum. Like you're
10 plus. Let's.
Yeah, okay.
Let's,
okay. Yeah, I knew
he's
what
got
he meant.
One.
I
let's
knew
go.
What he meant.
But in terms of this week, I think that we've gotten a little ahead of ourselves. That he's down to 20-1 odds at a lot of shops in Vegas. Equal odds with guys like Phil. Lower odds than Bubba Watson, Adam Scott, 2 former champions. I know Bubba's not playing that well, but it's still Bubba at the Masters. I think that there's still going to be a little bit of a learning curve coming into his first Masters, you know, playing as well as he did in Austin, backing it up last week in Houston. You can't ask for anything more from his game, but it's just going to be a matter of, is he able to execute? on that first time. We saw Spieth do it in 2014, and that is by far the anomaly. So many talented players have come to Augusta, and they've needed 2, 3, 4 years to get their feet under them. I don't know that John Rahm is exempt from that rule, and so when we're building power rankings or odds that have Rahm at fifth or sixth of the entire field and ahead of Phil, ahead of Justin Rose, ahead of Adam Scott, I think that the hype has exceeded a little bit of the performance in terms of this week.
I would be inclined to go the other direction. As far as fifth, I get the point that you're making. I think he should definitely firmly be in the top 10. As far as betting favorites, I think maybe like 6th to 8th or 7th.
All right, so if you go straight up, do you want Rahm or Phil this week?
What are the odds differential?
Same. They're both 20-1.
Yeah, you take Phil.
I'd probably go Phil.
Right.
But who's been playing better the last
Rahm.
2 months?
Do you want Rahm or Adam Scott?
I'd probably take Rahm.
You take Rahm?
Yeah, I would. Over Adam Scott. Not over Justin Rose, though. Throw Justin Rose in there.
Right.
No way. I think Justin Rose is going to contend this week.
Right. But it's scary that you can make a viable case to take John Rahm over Adam Scott.
Well, the guy is, as you point out, he is ranked 12th in the world. He has had a meteoric run through the last 9 or 10 months since he turned pro. It's amazing to think that not only at last year's Masters, but at last year's U.S. Open, he's still an amateur at Arizona State. So he is by far ahead of any sort of learning curve that we could have put out for him on the PGA Tour. I'm not sure that this week he's going to be able to just come and snatch a green jacket.
And the average world rank of Masters champions is 12th.
There you go.
So there's a little numerology
for you. The confidence is absolutely there. You know, talking to him last week in Houston, he's well aware of the lack of first-timer success at the Masters. And he said, well, you know, first-timers aren't supposed to win at Torrey Pines either. And he's right that you hadn't had a first-timer since Arnold Palmer when the Farmers Insurance Open. He pulled it off with that incredible back nine. So he's got the chops. He's got the confidence. I definitely think he's the cream of the crop among the first-timers. Just not sure that I'm willing to put him in that really upper echelon.
You know who was ranked 12th last year? Danny Willett.
Someone did their homework.
Just something to throw out there. All of the other 20-somethings, John Rahm would be the guy that I would most likely throw a little stack on. But another kind of under-the-radar guy who was 12th going into Shell Houston Open who had a bad week is Patrick Reed. I know his game's been kind of scattershot this year, but no one's talking about him. And you keep wondering, like, when's he finally going to have that major performance where he gets a top 10? And I think it's great because he has no pressure on him right now.
But the thing, the knock on him for me was, you look at the last two majors he played, he had his best two majors ever at the Open last year in the PGA. They weren't top 10s, but they were top 15s.
Yes.
And then you go to the Ryder Cup and you're like, wow, this guy's going to carry this momentum over. I was the one saying it. I said it multiple times at the end of 2016. I said, Patrick Reed's going to have a great year. He hadn't finished in the top 10 this year. I mean, it's
Doesn't that have to be one of the biggest fallacies, though, the Ryder Cup momentum carryover? Every time we hear a guy who has a big Ryder Cup, and then it's so hard to sustain that, though, like 6 months later when he's grinding to make a cut.
But it's not like, but he wasn't able to sustain it for 3 weeks. He didn't put anything together in the fall that could build momentum into Hawaii, that could build into the West Coast.
3 weeks, that's September to January. That's 3 months.
All right. I'm saying he didn't do anything in the fall that made you stand out and say, hey, look at what Hideki Matsuyama did at that same time. If you had seen Patrick Reed go out and win in China and really play well at Tiger's event in the Bahamas, things would have changed. But I agree with you, Tripp. I'm just not sure where he's at right now, and I don't know that Augusta National is the place you can really go to turn your game around. But, you know, Patrick Reed, Justin Thomas, Hideki Matsuyama, there are no shortage of big names who are kind of wobbling into the Masters. You know some of them are going to keep wobbling, but someone is going to find a way to work their way into the leaderboard.
That's just the 20-somethings. We haven't even touched on the best without a major, Sergio Garcia, Lee Westwood.
I will say
elder tier. So.
Before we go on, I think Daniel Berger is a guy to watch this week. Okay. Yeah, tied for 10th last year when he was coming off a wrist injury from the match play. Played really well, closing 66 Sunday in Houston. Much like John Rahm, does not lack for confidence. I think that he could be a guy that really sneaks in there if you're looking for the mid-range player.
How old's Tyrrell Hatton? Because he's playing some fantastic golf.
He definitely qualifies,
I mean, he's a guy.
It's amazing to think that he has risen into the top 15 in the world ranking with one win. He won the Dunhill Links.
He's top five every
week. Exactly. That's what you got to do. If you're not going to win, you've got to be T4, T7, T9,
and he's
done it. Whether it's majors, WGCs, big-time European Tour events, played well at the Honda a couple weeks back. Yep. He could be a guy to watch.
That's a very polite disregard for the last question that I just threw at you, Will. So I'll move on to the next one.
No, no, no. We'll get back to it now. I wanted to get my point in.
Get back to me. I'll see myself out. Okay, you got in your point. So you know what? We'll just not care about Sergio and Lee Westwood. And it seems like
Sergio
the 20-somethings have more cachet.
Sergio is in a different category than Lee Westwood, I think. I think Sergio very much still has a chance to win a major. And I don't think that Lee Westwood
does. So Lee Westwood chips in for eagle last year and is, what, one off the lead? And he has no chance at winning a major now?
If we're grading on a percentage scale of how confident are you that Sergio is ever going to win a major, it's much higher for me than it is with Lee Westwood.
Any name over 30 that sticks out to you where you're like, you know what, their game's rounded in form? Or it's just all the 20-somethings who have
No.
Millennials, George. It's all about the
Well, Alex Noren, I mean, he had a great last year. Let's see if he carries it in. Now we're going to see the first major he's played in after having that kind of great year where he won multiple times in Europe. He's certainly one of those guys that not a lot of people would think of. Paul Casey's another one.
That's my dark horse for the week.
Paul Casey finished fourth last year, a great iron player, great in difficult conditions. The thing you look at, he's about a smidge away of playing like he was going into the playoffs where he finished second, fourth the last three events of the tour at the Tour Championship. And I think that he's when he gets on those kind of streaks, he carries it in. He can play very difficult tests well. He's played well here in the past. I think Paul Casey's one of those guys that's not on a lot of people's radar, and I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him on the leaderboard Sunday.
We had Jordan Spieth win it as a 21-year-old opposite end of the spectrum. Phil Mickelson could become the oldest Masters champion if he were able to win this year. Jack, of course, with the record just over 46 years old and 86. Phil turns 47 in June, so he's got a few months ahead of where Jack was at in 1986. What do you gauge of
where
Phil's at?
I've always said this, and I say this every year. I don't care what Phil's done prior to that second week in April when he takes a right down Magnolia Lane off Washington Road. Phil becomes Phil, and his Mickelson-ness comes out more at this place than ever because he said it, I don't have to play perfect here. I don't feel like I can, I have to drive it perfect. I let it go. I can recover if I get out of position. He knows how to recover, too. See, that's the other thing, that the Augusta, the conundrum that the players face is such a fine line. If you walk on the right side of it, you can make birdies and eagles. You walk on the wrong side of it, you've got no chance of getting up and down or a two-putt even. Phil knows that line, and when he gets out of position, he plays the percentages. Even if it's to miss a green, he misses it in the right spot. And, I go back to that interview that he did with David Faraday talking about that iron, that six iron he hit on, 13. On the 13 out of the pine straw. It's how his mind works. It's amazing. He goes, the lofted club, it would spin up, and it could, when the pine needles, it would hit it and loft up, and then it could possibly hit the tree. He said the percentage play was actually to go for it because I was hitting a draw. My miss would be long and right, which is the way the angle of the creek goes. He said, and if I missed it a little, came out of it, it was to the left, which was a safe play. That's perfect. And then when you throw in how he's putting this year, very similar to how he was putting in 2013, week-to-week consistency. Yeah. And I talked about DJ's proximity of the hole when he's chipping. Well, proximity of the hole when you're in bunkers and all combined, throw chipping in, Phil's second.
Yeah.
So we've always known the short game's there, but statistically it never bore out. But it is this year. He's getting the ball close to the hole, and he's getting it up and down. It's hard not to like Phil this week.
I definitely agree. Listen, George, as you said, Jordan Spieth seems to be a different player when you get to Augusta National. He's able to turn it on, and Phil is the exact same way. He's playing chess. Everyone else is playing checkers on that golf course. As confident as I am that he will never win a U.S. Open, I am equally confident, if not more, that he is going to get a fourth green jacket.
Wow,
he will break. At some point, he is going to break.
That's a good take.
He is going to break Nicklaus's record, whether it's this year, whether it's when he's 50. I don't care. He's going to win this golf tournament again. He just, it's a place and a player that mesh so well. His game sets up great for it. We've talked before about how some of the greens and some of the shots tend to favor the left-handed players. Mm-hmm. Phil is a great example of that. He's going to get that fourth green jacket. It's just a matter of when.
Okay, final selections. Or any storyline that we missed that you guys quickly want?
Yeah, the guy that's going to win the golf tournament.
Oh!
That was our...
It was Rory McIlroy.
It's Justin Rose. Justin Rose.
Putting all your chips in on Justin Rose.
If he's shoving on Rory McIlroy, I got to shove on someone. I will take Justin Rose.
That is a great pick. A lot of people wouldn't be picking Justin Rose at all. He is trending in the right direction. And I talked to his caddy Mark Fulcher at Bay Hill, and he said, "You know what, my guy is. Mm-hmm. This is a good year for Justin.
I think he's really embracing the under the radar aspect. Finished second in Hawaii, fourth at Torrey, fourth at Riviera." He's playing some great golf that no one is noticing, yep. And I think he is absolutely fine with that. And he's played well at this course before. 2 years ago, finished second, would have won all but a handful of Masters when Jordan Spieth went and set every record. Played really well last week in Houston. He feels confident with the putter. So many of these guys that we talk about, the issue is going to be on the greens, whether it's Stenson, Matsuyama. Justin Rose falls in that category, but he's putting again with that claw grip. He's really feeling comfortable with it. I think this is the week he gets it done.
I'm looking for some chalk because I'm going with Dustin Johnson. So
Something to throw on the table. Hey, those are three great picks.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to go against DJ. I mean, we've already made the case ad nauseum, so it's not like I have some secret formula that I'm trying to rub together to say, oh, okay, he's going to win because of this, that, or the other. If the conditions are, as you say, they're going to be, Dustin Johnson's already won a major at the U.S. Open. He's handled difficult conditions. His game's about in as good a shape as it's ever going to be. So if he's going to continue this trend of being a dominant number one and really cement himself as the most dominant number one we've seen since Tiger in his prime, then this would be the next step for it to happen. But it's like picking a needle in the haystack for us to try and... What's the dream pairing you want to see on Sunday in the final group?
Spieth and Rory. I think that would be...
So you don't even want your guy in the final group, or you pick to win it?
Well, he can come from two shots behind, but you asked me who's going to win, but if I'm drawing up, if we're playing dream scenarios, yep. I think that Spieth and McIlroy, they played last year in the final pairing on Saturday, but getting them in the final group on Sunday where you have Spieth with all of his baggage from last year, you have Rory going for the last leg of the career Grand Slam, yeah. That would be everything I could ask for.
Golly, my dream final pairing. I got to go Rory and DJ.
Also a good answer.
That would be amazing to watch those two and how they would attack that golf course and both of them have a chance to win. That would be a good one.
I'd like to see Phil and Spieth.
Yeah. There you go. See, you can't go wrong. This is what's great about the Masters. You put any hypothetical in there, and it's like, that sounds good. I'd sign up for that.
And then real quick at the end, write your Sunday headline right now. Was it? Don't give me the lame, like, Rose in full bloom or something.
Yeah, I was going to get Rose. The Rose turns green or something. I mean, England's on a winning streak. How about that?
Okay. McIlroy slams the door.
Oh, that's a much better headline.
How about that?
Yeah. DJ number one. I don't know what else to say.
Write that in chalk.
Yeah. Just DJ chalk, period. Yeah. All right, guys. As always, looking forward to it. We'll be here all Masters week. So the 81st edition about to get underway for Will Gray, Trip Eisenhower. I'm George Savarikas. Thanks so much for joining us on the Golf Channel podcast.